Yeah,
It's
when you say new agey, we could also say encouraging some degree of spiritual bypass. Well, it's resorting to wisdom over love in the lead, leading with wisdom over love in this particular service or helping, when from your perspective and mine too, leading with love over wisdom might be better. Meaning, letting her cry and say, yes, it hurts, yes, it hurts, yes. And letting her get it out more fully rather than say, don't stop, don't cry, right? And that's a hard call, you know? And we don't know, you're absolutely right, you know, she's not a Buddha. And so her guidance isn't isn't of a being who's self-perfected or nearly self-perfected. She's got a lot to learn too, Laura, and so do we. And so, maybe indeed she's leading with wisdom where we might feel that that's spiritual bypassing, and we may feel that a lead with love or comfort, you know, non-teaching, comforting, holding, embracing, allowing. The catharsis might be better. Yet, you know, great teachers can be very rough and harsh too, right? Buddha saying, foolish man, foolish man. And Nityananda, you know, ending up killing the Mantrayani who was devastating the village, killing in the way of a magical working by agreement. So it's, you know, we're all learning the ideal way of service, and but it is true that we can't take what they're saying as as supreme examples of service. Nor can we take Yeshua, and nor can we even take Gautama, just in the sense that one size doesn't fit all. What he taught to the monks is not necessarily what we ought to be sharing with any one person at any one time. Right? So skill in service is very great learning that continues to refine over the course of soul evolution. Yeah, you know, we're not perfect, so we don't know what the perfect form of service would be. They have a history, and I would imagine that the girl has been stuck in self-pity for a long time. Centuries of selfishness and vanity is a big statement. And it's, you know, this is a further challenge in service to people in pain, acute emotional pain, when they're starting to make statements that we can't really talk about this now because it'll take a long time, but we could mark it for later. When, a person in genuine acute emotional pain is making what appear to be distorted statements or conclusions or sharing what are seen, what indeed are distorted conclusions and statements regarding the nature of their pain, regarding the nature of their process, that a person listening who's trying to help has a sense that they can't simply let them all slide. They can't just, you know, I can comfort you in your pain and care for you and show you I care and love you, but I can't agree with what you're saying. And that's a challenge, and that then goes to bringing wisdom, leading with wisdom over love, when the person the person is sharing distorted perspectives that are associated with self-pity or selfishness or inability to see the other person's perspective, blame, stubborn refusal to see and to feel more, to know more, where the person at a certain level wants us to validate or support what they're saying, but we know that what they're saying is mistaken. How to be of service then. That's, I think, partly what's going on here. Yeah, no, the whole thing is more complex. They have a history we don't know. And you can also say that the quality of the help that anyone can get or is getting from others around them is also karmically determined. And so the more we serve or really give generosity, dana, the more we give in true love, wisdom to others, the higher the quality of the help that we deserve and will get. And so a person who is deeply selfish won't get profoundly love, wisdom developed helpers. They'll get lesser love, wisdom developed helpers. You see? So it is that. It has to be that. I mean, it's all karmically determined, you know. Are the inheritors and the heirs to the karma, which means that all of the conditions that we're experiencing are resultant from causes. The causes being our own activity in thought, word, and deed. You know, how we think, how we speak, how we act, the basis, you know, those decisions we've made before. So, but I wouldn't say that this is such a strong example of inadequate or poor service. We'll see as we go on, you know. But I think this is the girl who tried to run away. I recommend if people could read the two links, they're not that long, on Karma Yoga from Wikipedia and The Path of Work from the Vedanta Society. I don't agree with everything they're saying, like, you know, disengaging ego from the work process. Well, what the heck does that mean? And again, you know, see, people so commonly use terminology that they themselves don't really understand. like turn your heart to the divine light. What does it mean? You know, it just, you know, saying it doesn't work with certain mind. You know, if the mind is in it, and, you know, it won't work for my mind because it's too vague, or it's just mistaken in a core way. Because there isn't, let's say, a solid ego. So how do I disengage that ego from my work process? Well, I have to work. Doesn't that mean I'm directing my conscious mind to work? How can I disengage it? Well, no, that's not really what's meant. But there is this discussion of age-appropriate teaching, meaning teaching that's appropriate to any level of consciousness. People who teach in ways that I myself may consider vague will defend it, may defend it, and say, well, I'm just teaching them in the terminology they can understand. But then the question is, do they really understand? do they really understand as well as you think they do what I consider vague terminology? Like, open your heart to the divine light. Does Dr. Luis actually know what that means? No, he actually doesn't. And there's a real problem with that kind of approach to teaching, which is not only does it sort of underestimate the capacity of the listener, meaning there's some sense, I've got to teach them this way because I know they can't understand something more subtle or refined or philosophical, but it may leave them more confused because they just heard yet another thing that they don't really understand while you think they understand it. And so that's a whole nother matter. But if you guys can read the material on Karma Yoga, both pages or anything, if you wish, there you may find other questions arising, like, why is it that Karma Yoga seems to be what's being taught here? And what does it mean about Earth humanity that they can't really take any other approach? And is that the case for everyone? No. But it seems to be the case for the majority. And is that associated with the condition of 3D repeating? Is that associated just with this group on Earth here today that seem to be not amenable to higher presentations of spiritual path and third density, like raw Venusians doing Tantra Yoga, or what, the Syrians in third density doing, Jnana Yoga, meaning they're more mental, intellectual, and everybody's studying or learning, but here everybody's working, and that's the case about humanity too. you know, is that they're not that mental. They're not that intellectual. They're not that philosophical. They're not that really intimate with each other either. They don't really know how to get along with each other. The only thing they know how to do is work. And if the work is well directed, they'll do great. And when it's not, you get, you know, a lot of problems. So that's a very interesting angle, I think.
Very, very true. I agree. I think, and that'll be good. We'll continue on. I'll add some, of course, I'll have more time.
Right. No, it's fine with me if we do this No Solar summary wrap-up for another 3 weeks. That's fine.
Okay.
So, and there was another half of those addendum topics that I didn't cover. So, like, anomalous reincarnation scenarios, freedom and obeying. Freedom from obeying by obeying. You know, freedom... The way to freedom by obeying what you're told by elders or apparently more evolved beings. So there are all sorts of different things there. And anyway, so let's just leave it open and take it 1 week at a time with no urgency to wrap it up, to conclude or finish the series. Because, you know, if we do two or three more classes or even more, it's okay for me.
Okay, good. All right, okay. That sounds fine. I'm enjoying it.
Good.
Even though I missed the one, I am enjoying it, and I think it's important. It's important information to get out there. You know, I really do. And
yeah. And okay. It's very useful actually, because not only does it show the after death, what is likely the after death experience for most souls on Earth, but for us who are not from, we're not local, we're strangers in a strange land, it helps us understand more of what's going on here. Their level of consciousness and the nature of the culture, understood by a deeper analysis of the incarnational and after-death process, the cycling between physical and non-physical, as a reflection of both culture and collective consciousness of this group of souls here that we don't understand so well, generally. We don't understand humans so well, I think. So, or ordinary people. And most people don't even know they don't understand. Like saying, you know, teachers not understanding what they're teaching. That's really common. If you can't do mind on ideas, you got to do hands on physical objects. Yeah. It's the approach of this level of the astral plane for this level of 3D souls. Pretty much hands on in the right way. That's the you know, quote, hands on in the right way, end quote, is Karma Yoga. Possibly, I would think that it's very complicated and also depends on what human grouping correlate to on the astral plane we're talking about. Like, villagers in India don't go to this No Solar. And where do they go? Well, maybe they go to, you know, New Delhi in the sky, or Benares in the sky, or, you know, some tiny village in the sky, akin to an Indian culture replicate. And because that culture also understands the four ways of yoga, which Western folks don't, except for, you know, what? Orthodox monasticism, or, you know, the Sufis. then in those other culture replicates on the astral plane, there are other options available for personal transformation. Other yogas are being taught. Right. Right, or helping themselves sufficiently. It's the general composition of the psychology graduate program that you have lots of people there with lots of personal emotional issues. And that's why they're studying psychology. And me too, to some degree. And even though I came out of, you know, Buddhism and meditation and monasticism a bit, most people there are there because they want to help others in the way that they still need to continue helping themselves And then in the New Age, you have people with even less training or self-examination, sometimes, some cases, who are busy helping others, but they themselves are still quite wounded and don't realize it. And then you have the, you know, flaky or controlling New Age type teachers. So it's much easier to look out than look in, it seems, and easier to do hands-on than mind-on. but depends on the culture. But it's a real problem, 3D repeating. It's a real problem. And Orion has ways of trapping people in all, excuse me, in all of the yogas, right? False teachers or controlling pseudo-gurus take advantage of those on the bhakti yoga path, and materialist self-aggrandizement, carrot and stick kind of overvaluing or idealizing fame and fortune appeal to those on the karma yoga line. And same thing with the jnana yoga, encouraging wisdom without love. And the Raja Yoga, encouraging spiritual materialism or magical powers rather than transformation into love wisdom. So it's a real scene here. All right, well, if there's nothing else, then thank you, everybody. And next week we'll carry on. And so take good care of yourselves and see you next time. Good night.